Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of all transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows, Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the verses 13 through 30. John 19, the verses 13 through 30. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Thus far the scripture reading. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created everything and upholdeth all by thy divine providence, then it has pleased thee in thy condescending mercy and in thy patient long suffering that thou wast brought us to this day, a day that has been set apart in the midst of thy church, to in a special way remember and meditate upon the death of thy dear Son, where he has cried out on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." Oh, it is the payday for the church. And now, Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that we have come up to this day, how it has been in the weeks gone by. Oh, what is our life? And whether we have come to this day with a heavenly high debt, which we can never repay, oh, with sin and with guilt, with a deep and profound impression that we need a mediator, one to stand between us and a holy and a righteous God. Oh, Lord, may there have come up a people in this day with a deep impression of their sin and of their guilt. Oh, that have learned, ah, Lord, when it is missing, wilt thou then teach in this day the exceeding sinfulness of sin, oh, that separation and our heavenly high guilt, that we may be joined to those sires and to those beggars that have given to turn their face Zionward and that have become true seekers, that have attempted to please thee by keeping thy law holy, ah, Lord. And may there then have come up souls that have learned by the work of thy Holy Spirit that we have transgressed against all thy commandments, that we are transgressors from the womb. Oh, that awful pride that dwells within, the enmity against thee, against thy Son, and thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, a people that have learned that their heart is so carnal and so vain and so earthly. Oh, a people that have learned so busy seeking their own kingdom and their own honor and not thy kingdom and thy honor. Ah, Lord, a people that have learned that they are but a Pharisee, and to that end, ah, Lord, not only in beginning, but also on the furtherance of that way, each time by renewal for the Pharisee to become a publican. Oh, a confession of our lukewarmness, of our backsliding. Ah, Lord, our religious duties, they are all polluted with sin. Ah, may there have come up souls in this morning hour that have learned that they are worked out and that they are talked out. Ah, that have learned where they have tried so diligently and so hard and perhaps so long to please Thee ever was possible, and never to grieve Thee by renewal, but now to be worked out, all for our mouth to be stopped, to become guilty before Thee, all with our eyes toward Thee, with yet a sigh, whether there is a way, that such a guilty, such an unworthy, damn worthy and hell worthy sinner may be pardoned of all their sins, ah, Lord. And may there be souls in this morning with a burden of sin upon their back. Ah, then we humbly ask Thee that Thou may cause the light to shine in the darkness. Oh, to be granted by Thy grace, by the leading of Thy Holy Spirit, to come to the cross with a burden of sin, to be given to look upon the brazen serpent, oh, upon Christ crucified, who was hung upon that cursed cross, and who was cried out, "It is finished." Oh, the substitute for Thy church, wilt Thou grant unto Thy children that liveliness and the exercise and the strengthening of faith. Thy people, they have learned, and they must confess that also on these special days, that without Thee they can do nothing, so dependent upon the immediate working of Thy Holy Spirit, ah, Lord. To that end, may it please Thee to come down with Thy Spirit and with Thy power and with Thy blood in the midst of us and our children. Ah, Lord, show unto the unconverted the exceeding sinfulness of sin, because the cross declares that Thou can never overlook sin, that each sin that demands temporal and eternal punishment, and in Thy justice, then sin must be punished in us or in another. Ah, Lord, that the preaching of the cross of Christ crucified, may it be used, that many sinners may be pricked in their heart, and that they may be given to follow Thee, to cry after Thee, all uncovered, to their lost state. Ah, Lord, Thou hast a people upon the earth, and may that number be increased, that cannot miss Thee. Oh, grant unto Thy children that close life, that in this day they may be given to see more clearly, to believe more strongly, oh, to hope and more hope more fervently, and to love more ardently, and to be given to rejoice in the wonders of free and sovereign grace. Ah, Lord, Thou hast a people upon the earth, when Thou may instruct them, when they may receive something from Thee, where they learn that it is grace and grace alone, than that vehement desire, that they may be more joyful and more thankful. Oh, that Thou may be praised by us and in us and by our fellow travelers to that never-ending eternity. Ah, Lord, Thou hast done the wonders around the cross and even upon one of the crosses, where that thief was converted. Ah, the centurion has confessed that Thou, Son, was truly the Son of God. Lord, we humbly beg of Thee that on this special day that has been set apart, ah, Thy name is Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father, wilt Thou then work wonderfully amongst us and our children, that it may be heard that thou art that wonder-doing God, that as a people, that thou hast not forgotten and not forsaken us. Ah, Lord, what better and greater token could thou grant unto us and our children, also for encouragement in this dark and solemn time, when it would be heard that sons and daughters would be born in Zion, and that thy children, that there may be that breaking through work, oh, to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, Lord. Do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. May the kingdom of Satan be disturbed, and thy kingdom expanded, multiplied, and be built up. Remember then thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember the persecuted church. Remember all mission work. Remember the Jewish people. Oh, may it please thee to take the veil off that nation, and not only in the way of understanding, but by the work of thy Holy Spirit, ah, Lord, that also amongst us, that for those Jews where that gospel is so hidden, that in this very day, that the veil may be taken away, and to behold matters which they have never seen before, and that for the pardoning of sin and for reconciliation, Lord, remember the many needs amongst us. Ah, then we remember the mourning ones. Where a year ago, there were those that were still in our midst, for whom it has become eternity. Ah, do continue to uphold and to remember them. May the callings be sanctified. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember all under the physician's care, with all the sick relatives, Lord. We now humbly ask thee for thy help. May we be administered out of thy fullness, that with joy and liberty, with simplicity and clarity, we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord, to be given to taste thereof, and with a heart full of love for all the unconverted, Lord. Go then from bench to bench, from chair to chair, and from dwelling to dwelling, where still under thy solemn speaking, a part of the congregation is in their dwellings. But wilt thou be mindful of us, be a surprising God. Our Lord, then we have to confess that we have nothing to plead upon, but wilt thou do it for thine own great name's sake. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed. Thou day and night, for help I plead. And what follows, Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 19, the 30th verse, the first part, where God's word and our text reads thus, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Our text words speak of the sixth crossword, "It is finished," with four thoughts in the first place, published by a suffering Savior. In the second place, declared as the instructing prophet. In the third place, fulfilled as the atoning high priest. And in the fourth place, proclaimed as the victorious king. The sixth crossword, "It is finished," published by a suffering Savior, declared as the instructing prophet, fulfilled as the atoning high priest, and in the fourth place proclaimed as the victorious king, thus first published by a suffering Savior. A beloved congregation, many times Good Friday is called the payday for the church. And that is for a people that have learned by the precious and uncovering light and work of the Holy Spirit that they have a great debt. How is it now with us and our children? Do we have a debt, congregation? And then even our boys and girls, they shall answer, "We have been taught that we have many sins, that they are great and manifold. But let me now ask you, has that debt, has that become a true and an unbearable burden?" When the Lord works by His Spirit, congregation, we have heard it out of Lord's Day number 2, then by the mirror of the holy law, then we are given to see our great and manifold sins. And that is a debt that we owe before a holy and a righteous God. And how is it now with that debt? Do we try to not to think about it? But boys and girls, I think you can even understand that even if we try to put it out of our thoughts, maybe in your youth you think, "I want to be happy and not sad," but that shall not make a difference, because all of our sins, they are recorded in God's book. And each sin that demands temporal and eternal punishment. Thus on this Good Friday, then we may ask each other, has it now become a Good Friday for us? Of course, it is a good message. It is a precious message. Because on the cross of Calvary, it may be declared to us and our children that there is such a great salvation that even the chiefest of sinners can be saved, even if we have committed the sins of the thief on the cross. Then I read, oh, Good Friday declares what I read in 1 John 1 verse 7, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. And now the question, is there room? Do we need payment for our debt? Oh, when the Spirit teaches us, then that debt becomes such a burden, is a debt that needs to be paid, and then we shall be exercised with death and with eternity. And do you know what such people then do? Then they do their best to please the Lord. Then God's word that receives such a large place in our life, then it shall be seen that we shall not follow hard after the world does not mean, oh, when the Lord works, what a troubles we can have with those temptations, troubles that we never had before. But then it becomes the desire of the heart. Then we hope to pay our debt. Are there such souls in my midst that are so busy and that are coming more and more to the conclusion with everything that you do and do not do, that is still standing open and is only becoming greater? That is the work of the Spirit. Because we read in Romans 3 verse 20, that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And now, Good Friday, the cross of Calvary, what a good message it is for those guilty people and all the people of God. They need to be taught everything. Is there still a soul in my midst that is worked out and talked out, that all excuses have been taken away, a guilty acknowledging that the Lord is just, deserved hell 1,000 times, and yet souls, oh, that in this morning have said, oh, who can tell? Oh, may then the light shine in the darkness. And now our first thought, published by a suffering Savior, then they have come to Calvary's hill. It is true, it is not written in the Bible that Calvary was on a hill. But when we study the scriptures and consider that those women stood afar off, oh, may it please the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, souls that are standing so afar off, that they may be brought nigh through the blood. But does that not imply, when they can see, when they stood afar off, that the cross of Calvary, that has stood on a height, then it is clear that the cross of Calvary was by a road, because we read that many have passed by. And now the suffering, but also the death of the Savior, and now crucifixion. Then, boys and girls, you know how that Christ was led to the cross, had to bear the cross, nearly succumbed, then Simon of Cyrene has helped, and so three, they were brought to the cross of Calvary. And now crucifixion, that was a terrible death. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, in the scripture, but very few words to describe it. But then such a one and then his clothes were taken off. Oh, Christ has become naked, that there may be a people upon the earth that may be clothed with a robe of garment of righteousness. He has taken the shame of his church upon him, and then such a one. Then they were stretched on that cross, and then the soldiers, we read of four, because they have parted the garment, those garments, four, but then they have cast lots because of the coat. Thus those four soldiers, and then they have taken those large nails, they tell us 5-6 inches long, and then they have pounded them through his hands and through his feet. Oh, behold, then the suffering Savior, what a pain, what an agony. And then the soldiers, they have taken that cross, and they have placed it upright. They have placed it in a hole. Whether they have driven the nails through his feet before the cross was erected or after, there are different thoughts. It is not the most important. Then we can understand that one, such a one. Oh, when the blessed Savior, whose hands have done nothing but good, they have broken, they have multiplied the bread, they have blessed the children, have healed the sick. Then those blessed hands, they were pierced. And then when he is hung on the cross, then the blood is streamed. Oh, there is declared that a fountain has been opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Oh, there Christ, there he is hung between the heavens and the earth. No place upon the earth and no place in heaven. Oh, then behold the suffering Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And why, congregation? Because he has done nothing amiss, had no original sin, had no actual sin. It was because of the sins of his people. Oh, then behold the cross of Calvary in this morning, a young and old. Oh, crucifixion, that was a painful death. It was a shameful death. It was a cursed death, and it was a sure death. There he is hung between the heavens and the earth as that suffering Savior. Our second thought, declared as the instructing prophet. Then our children know it, that Christ has spoken 7 crosswords, and I think many of our children, they know them. And now for God's people, then what an instruction and what a comfort lieth in those crosswords. And now I hope there are souls that may have received instruction therefrom. But what is now necessary for those truth-seeking souls, that they may come to the 6th crossword. Oh, what a comfort it is for seeking souls that are burdened with their sin and with their guilt. And that is so necessary, congregation, because otherwise what must we do with Christ crucified? Then we must say the same as a Pilate has said, what must they do with Jesus? Because I read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick, but all those burdened souls. Then what a comfort that first crossword may be when they may hear of forgiveness. Because when the Lord works, that is what we need. then we need to be forgiven and to be pardoned. Oh, the second crossword. Oh, what an encouragement when it may be heard. Oh, when sinners may still be converted. Oh, when the Lord works, then we have a desire how the Lord converts his people and whether it is possible for me. Oh, what an encouragement when they may hear of that thief on the cross and the clear way that Christ has led him. Oh, then it is true. Then there can be those struggling souls that wish they had such a clear and such a short way, and that they may receive such precious words from the Savior. Nevertheless, oh, what an encouragement. Oh, it can be in the beginning that they are glad, and that is a blessing when the Lord keeps us from outward sins. Because congregation, when the Lord uncovers by His Spirit, then He does not uncover us to sins which we have not committed, to make it simple. And I hope we never come in bars. But when the Lord converts us and we have never been in a bar, then we shall not be convinced of being in that bar, although we learn that we are no better. But now for a time to come, that we no longer place ourselves above that thief, but that we become the chiefest of sinners. Oh, that third crossword. Because the cares and trials and troubles in this life can be manifold. Oh, what a comfort it can be for the church when they are led into the preciousness of that third crossword. Oh, that even Christ in his great suffering, that he had compassion upon his mother. Oh, much more so, reverently speaking, when he sits at the right hand of the Father as that exalted King. But with those first three crosswords, instruction, comfort, and encouragement, but still with the burden of sin upon my back, it is true, when the Lord may come over with his love, then it can seem that it is all well. But now the necessity to be instructed in the suffering of that precious mediator as a substitute for his church. Oh, that fourth crossword, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, that the church shall never be forsaken. Oh, that fifth crossword, I thirst, that he was given to thirst, that his people shall not have to thirst to a never-ending eternity. Oh, as a fruit of those crosswords, that there may be a church that may hunger and thirst after righteousness. But now are there still souls? Precious instruction, encouragement. And the Lord is not in land of outer darkness for his people. Oh, when that people may be instructed out of the word of God. But with those first five crosswords, still a debt that is unpaid. And each day, coming closer to that final meeting with our Maker. There's the work of the Spirit to make room in the heart of his people for each new benefit. Oh, may there be a few souls in my midst. Cannot deny what the Lord has done, but that their sins, their heavenly high guilt. Oh, then what a blessed word that Christ has spoken, the sixth crossword, it is finished. In the Greek language, it is only one word of five letters, telos. And that word has a much broader meaning than in the English language. When we think to finish something, then it is something according to a plan. Finish a house, a hospital, then there is a plan, a blueprint. We read of different things that have been finished. If we think of Genesis 2 verse 1, that the creation was finished according to the counsel and the decree of God. In Exodus 40, we read that the tabernacle was finished and the Lord has given all the specifications when he was 40 days on the mount, as we read from Exodus 25 through 31. We read the same of the temple. Thus that word, it is finished according to a plan. Oh, when Christ is cried out, it is finished. Then it was according to the counsel that was made in that never begun eternity, where the Trinity is counseled concerning the salvation of the church. How shall I place them among the children? Oh, where Christ has come forward in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, and thy law is written within my heart, as we read in Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8. Oh, there the Son has given himself, that he would assume our human nature, that he would suffer, that he would die. A word of completion. It also means to make an end of, and further, to pay out and to pay the price. And now maybe there is one that says, but how could Christ and now say that sixth crossword when it was not yet finished? And of course that word, it is finished, that refers especially to the state of his humiliation. O congregation, it is not finished concerning the state of his exaltation. O the King, he sits at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he is gathering that church. He sends forth his Spirit. Has the catechism not written that he pours out those heavenly graces upon those that are lying under the seal of election? And oh, that work that shall continue till the world continues to an end, that work shall continue throughout all eternity. But now it is finished. That concerns the work of his humiliation. And then we know that Christ must not only suffer, but that he also had to die. Because through our deep fall in Adam, we have come under a threefold death. And thus, when Christ has spoken that word, he still had to die, still had to be pierced, and still had to be buried. But we can understand, even our children can understand, that Christ, as the mediator, that he must speak those words when he was still alive, and also anticipation that it would soon come to pass. Because Christ was also God, oh, he has also said to his disciples in that high priestly prayer in John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, as that instructing prophet, then in the context, because we read when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, Christ was offered drink two times before he was crucified, a numbing drink that he would not feel the pain so much, but that he has refused. Our Christ, do we not read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, he has endured the cross. Oh, that joy that was his black bride that he would receive as a reward upon his finished work, as I read in Psalm 2, the verses 7 and 8. And now, when he had received, oh, then all was fulfilled, because we read in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, then all the scriptures of the Old Testament thus far concerning his suffering, which must take place before his death, had been fulfilled except one, and that is the prophecy in Psalm 69, verse 21, that they would give him vinegar to drink. And to that end, also he has cried out, I thirst. Oh, in the life of the people of God, concerning the fulfillment of what the Lord speaks unto them, how it can be tried, and how they can be troubled. Oh, if one prophecy had not been fulfilled concerning that precious Christ, then the Jewish people, they would have some place in the Bible to lay their finger on and say, here is now a prophecy that has not been fulfilled. And to that end, he has cried out, I thirst. Thus that word, it is finished. Then Christ, concerning the state of his humiliation, and our young people, they can remember when we speak of the state of his humiliation. Oh, then Christ also on the cross, then he is stood guilty concerning the justice of his Father. Because do we not read in Galatians 3, verse 13, that he was made a curse? Do we not read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that he was made sin? Oh, he is hung there laden with the guilt of his church, and therefore guilty before the justice of his Father. But now concerning that state of his humiliation, then all the prophecies were fulfilled. And there are so many. Oh, Genesis 3, verse 15, concerning the warfare between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Oh, think of Father Jacob on his deathbed, that Judah, that he shall praise him, and that the scepter shall not depart from Judah till the Shiloh come. Oh, Deuteronomy 18, a prophet like unto Moses. Oh, think of the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Oh, 9, verse 16, Isaiah 53, it was all finished. Our third thought, fulfilled as the atoning high priest. Then when Christ is cried out, it is finished, then he was given to proclaim. It was heard on earth, in heaven, and in hell, that the debt of the church has been paid in full. And to that end, then when Christ has said it is finished, a finished suffering, then he has suffered what the church deserves to suffer to all eternity in hell. Oh, on the cross of Calvary, congregation, there is declared the exceeding sinfulness of sin. May we be given to meditate upon it. The terribleness of sin, that rather that the Lord would let sin go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son. Oh, see then this suffering Savior. Behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, that has shed his blood. Then in the second place, the cross of Calvary declares the justice of God, that he cannot step over sin, that he must punish sin. To that end, the suffering Savior, that has even cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the suffering Savior, that the sun has refused to shine for 3 hours. In the third place, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Ghost displayed on the cross of Calvary. Oh, young and old, what a preaching that the cross of Christ is there for. Paul has declared in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2 that he determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Oh, do we not read in Ephesians 3 verse 8 that he was an ambassador to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? A finished suffering, a finished obedience was necessary for Christ to perfectly obey the law of God on behalf of his children, that he may merit for them eternal life. And when Christ is cried out, it is finished. He is finished obeying the law. Then in the third place, a finished sacrifice. Then the cup has been perfectly emptied. Read of that cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. Full of the wrath of God, justice of God against the sins of his people. It has been perfectly emptied. Atonement. Boys and girls, can you remember what that word means? Atonement. Three words. At one meant. By nature, then we are not at one with God. Then we are at enmity. But now through that finished sacrifice, and of course also death, then the cup has been emptied. In the second place, then that sword has been unsheathed. Oh, on the cross of Calvary, then we do not read, as I read in Genesis 22, when an Abram was ready to slay a son, that the Lord has sent his angel, lay not thy hand upon the lad. But then on the cross of Calvary, then it has been fully fulfilled what I read in Zechariah 13 verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Oh, then in the third place, then on the cross of Calvary, then we see that justice is satisfied. The veil has been rent. When he has cried out, it is finished. Then the dowry has been paid. That a Christ has a reward upon that finished work. Then he may receive that black bride as a reward. Oh, then in the fifth place, that the debt has been canceled, we read. That's so beautiful written in Colossians 2 verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. O congregation, behold, then the suffering Savior, Behold then the Lamb of God, behold him who has cried out, it is finished, a perfect sacrifice. The price has been paid, a way has been made that the church may be set free. Oh, may it please the Lord on this special day, because it is a day, oh, in the Old Testament, we may compare it to the great day of atonement, once in a year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, when the tribes of Israel came up to Jerusalem to keep holy day, and when that goat would be sacrificed, when the blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat, when the high priest would return and to pronounce a blessing. The cross of Calvary, that finished work, boys and girls, that can be beautiful explained, I have read, happened many years ago on the prairies where I do not know. But that is a beautiful emblem of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A father and mother with children, and especially in the early days when there was so much grass. We still have fires now because of the drought. But in the early days, even much more. And all the details are not written, but I have read. A father and mother with children. And then there was a prairie fire. And it has burnt. Maybe it was the time that the wheat was ripe. The rest was still green. But then they have seen that fire go over their field. The Lord has spared their house and their barn. And then father said, mother, children, let us go and look at that field. Oh, hopefully, maybe father has first said, my dear wife and children, let us first go to the living room, and then we all bow our knees and thank the Lord that he has spared our house, our barn, and our lives. And then as a family, they have walked over that field, most of the field maybe a few corners, were still standing. And then you can understand the thoughts for food for the cattle and for themselves. And then they have come across a lump on that field. And then that father has given that lump a kick. And then to their surprise, 10 little fluffy yellow chicks came running underneath. What a beautiful picture. I think you can remember, boys and girls. Because Christ even compares himself to a hen. In Matthew 23, verse 37, where Christ has cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest those that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thee as a hen or chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And now what has that mother hen now done when she saw the fire coming? Then she has called those little chicks, and they have all come running under her wings. And then the fire has come and burnt that mother hen up, charred, roasted. But then those little chicks, they were safe under the wings of that mother hen. What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that was willing to endure the fire of God's justice, to say it reverently. Because when we consider the cross of Calvary, then we must always remember that the soul suffering, that was the greatest, that he was willing to endure the agonies of hell for his people, and that his people may go free. And now, boys and girls, if now one of those little chicks, if they had not listened to Mother Hen when she is called, and if one of those little chicks had not been under the hens of that mother hen, boys and girls, what would have happened to that little chick? Would have been completely burnt up. Are you still such a little chick? As the Lord calls you, calls all of us, also in this day, when we consider that crucified mediator that has suffered the agonies of hell. Oh, the love of Christ for his people, that his people may go free. The same as those little chicks, that they may be yellow. Do we not read that through the precious mediatorial work of Christ, that his people in Isaiah 1 verse 18, that they shall be whiter than snow. Let us first sing. Psalter 232. Let us only sing 1 and 2. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. And what follows? 232, only 1 and 2. Sixth crossword, It Is Finished. Published by a suffering Savior, declared as the instructing prophet, fulfilled as the atoning high priest, and now fourthly proclaimed as the victorious king. We read in Luke 23, verse 46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." There it is implied that Christ has spoken this precious word in a very loud voice, in a victorious voice. We read in Genesis 3, verse 15, the mother promise concerning the coming of the Messiah, concerning that enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And wherein that mother promise, the victory is declared, that the head of Satan would be bruised. And that has now taken place on the cross of Calvary. Oh, it is true. For many, according to human appearance, then the Satan has gained a victory. Oh, he has stirred up the Jewish rulers, the people. Oh, they were still responsible. And now Christ, because we read of that warfare many places, oh, in the Old Testament, that Christ would never be born, that the Jewish nation would be destroyed, but the counsel of the Lord shall stand, the Lord reigneth. Oh, when Christ was born, then Herod has murdered the children in Bethlehem and vicinity under 2 years old. Read Matthew 4, when Christ was in the wilderness, that the devil, that he has come with his three temptations. Oh, then already that victory was declared, because Christ has pointed him to the word of God. And finally, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord and him only. How often do we not read in the Gospels of those that were possessed with devils, but Christ has cast them out. And now on the cross of Calvary, although according to human appearance, then it seems that Satan has won. But now, with that word, it is finished. Then the head of Satan has been bruised. And we read, it is clearly declared in Hebrews 2, verse 14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Thus, that victorious king, that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that Satan's head has been bruised. It is true. Still as much power, but all under the dominion, under the authority, and under the permission of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was cried out on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. And even the latter days, when we read the book of Revelation, the warfare, the persecution, we read that Satan shall have a short time, but he is a defeated enemy. The king, he is conquered on the cross of Calvary. He shall soon rise as that victorious and resurrected king. He shall ascend into heaven, and there he shall exercise his kingship. It is finished. young and old, what does that word mean to us? Is there a need for that word? Do we have sin? Do we have guilt? Have we learned to weep about our sins when it becomes true? And we learn what a terrible thing that sin is, causes separation, and we shall weep, try to hide it. Even when we are in church, shall not always be possible. Still a blessing when you may see weeping people in church, that we are not cold and untouched. Oh, young and old, do you think much about it? Because what shall you do with your debt? The debt that goes with us every day, and it goes with us to eternity. And that debt is becoming greater every day. What shall you do with your debt when the Lord sends the angel of death? And when he says boy, girl, youth, middle-aged, older ones, give account of thy stewardship. And then if that debt is not paid, we are not included in that precious crossword, it is finished, then we shall be sent to hell, and then never, never, never to all eternity shall then we hear concerning our debt that it is finished. An eternity without an end. Are there those souls that are laboring under their debt? Ah, that have tried so hard. Maybe even times that you thought to go in the right direction. More holy, delivered from that temptation, opening at the throne of grace, experience the loving kindness of the Lord, and yet experience that the debt is only becoming greater. Because I read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. We read in our text, it is finished. Are you still denying that precious word? Still, maybe even subconsciously, if I would ask you, know the truth, know that it is grace, but even subconsciously denying that sixth crossword, still trying to add something to that finished work of Christ. Oh, the necessity to be brought to the end of everything, that it becomes hopeless, helpless, that we become so guilty and given to bow under the justice of God and even go lost. Oh, it is the work of the Spirit. May it please the Lord in this very day that those words may be applied. It is finished. Oh, Christ, the bride is said, that black bride, that he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. All for the church, the necessity. Oh, each time by renewal, an impression of their sins, it is true. When the church may be led further, and when that gospel may has been opened, the same exercises, misery, deliverance, and gratitude, but experienced in a different manner. But now, the necessity for the church, and not only to be given to behold that precious gospel, and to be led into the riches of that finished work, not only to experience the payday, oh, that Christ has paid it perfectly, but now also to be exercised with that receipt, young and old, Good Friday. Has it now become truly a Good Friday for us? We repeat, there's a precious message, O congregation Christ, with those outstretched arms, then he invites the whole congregation, the same as that mother hen. When she called all her chicks, not one excluded. Then they were all called to come. May it please the Lord to work mightily, lovingly, with his Holy Spirit, and that we may learn and experience the wonderful things of the Lord. He has cried out, it is finished. Then I read in Hebrews 2 verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who can fathom, who can understand, and who can explain the wonder of the cross of Calvary and the riches of the sixth crossword, has been proclaimed already for so many centuries. And then we must say with the Queen of Sheba that the half has not been told. Oh, then eternity shall not be too long to be wondered, that eternal wonder, and that for the chiefest of sinners, ah, Lord, then thou still calleth us and our children. Well, to grant ears to hear, hearts to perceive. Well, thou convert us, as thou hast converted all thy people. Well, thou now graciously watch over us in the furtherance of this day. Bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this afternoon hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven, and what follows. Then the consistory wishes to announce, since the government of Alberta has asked for a prayer day this coming Tuesday, then as a congregation we hope to come together this coming Tuesday at 7:30 in the evening, open for the whole congregation to try to ask the Lord for his blessing and deliverance. Thus, the Lord willing, this coming Tuesday at 7:30, a prayer service for our country and province. Psalter 83, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.